Hi, welcome to See What Show. This is Mr. Brown.
And this is Ling.
Welcome to another week of movie, TV and DVD reviews for the regular people.
Indeed, and today we throw in a bout of flu.
Ling is not feeling well.
If you hear me go, you know why.
Yeah, she's not trying to be sexy.
I try very hard.
This week we are reviewing Cleaner with Samuel Jackson in it.
Also Cassandra's Dream or Cassandra's Dream.
It's Cassandra.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Well, if you're British.
And we are reviewing Ben 10's complete season 1 DVD series.
Yay, DVD, a series.
I know.
It's been cool, so very long. Ben 10, did you say?
Ben 10.
Oh my gosh.
You're out of it, right? It is a TV
No, I
series.
Know Ben 10. Of
you
course.
Do?
My nephew watches Ben 10. Heat Wave, huh? There you go.
Wow. She's so into it, Sias.
Of course. You have to do research when you're to buy birthday presents, you know.
Okay, let's look at what's showing this week, though.
What's showing this week?
The Other Bowling Girl.
Yes.
Actually, if you say it very quickly, it sounds like The Other Bowling Girl.
That's right.
Well, this show about a girl who bowling in the Kalang Bo.
Leisure Drome.
It's about historical drama, the Tudors, Henry VIII. Anne Boleyn was one of his wives, and Mary Boleyn was the sister. So this is a sort of fictionalized history. We reviewed it in a previous episode of See What Show.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyable romp, but don't expect historical accuracy.
Right.
Yeah. Steamy stuff, though. Steamy soap opera. Sort of pastel stuff.
Right, starring Scarlett Johansson and Natalie Portman.
In sort of like opposite roles, actually.
Right.
Yeah, one act, the person you expect to act as the bitchy princess, bitchy mistress, is the other person. So.
Oh, cast against type, is it?
Cast against type.
Okay.
What else?
Also, I think coming to the cinemas now very soon would be Funny Games. The title, of course, makes it sound like it's a comedy. I think it's quite the opposite. I watched the trailer. It looks really sadistic.
Oh.
Starring Naomi Watts, Tim Roth, and also a person that will make you go, is that Brad Pitt's brother? He's called Michael Pitt. He's actually the cousin of Brad Pitt.
Oh.
Yeah. What happens in this is the family of three. Naomi Watts is the mom, Tim Roth the father, and their child. They go on vacation. And then someone comes knocking on their door. Two boys, actually. Two teenagers come knocking on their door. And they seem harmless at the beginning, but actually they really take them on an adventure that they never expected. It seems like there's a lot of beating up, stripping. Huh? So there's a disclaimer. When you watch the trailers, they tell you that there's some scenes of violence, and should just beware if you want to catch Funny Games.
Okay. Also showing is Doomsday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Zombie movie. Something like 28 Days. Where a virus has infected everyone in the city and they've all become zombies and they have to shut down the city to prevent spreading. Containment is the term they always use.
Yes.
But what's happening is that there's somebody inside that survived. So in other words, developed immunity.
Ah.
So they're sending in a team led by this hot chick, leader to kick butt and take names and find a cure.
Wow.
I love movies that are like that because it's so brain dead.
And you can almost predict the ending, isn't it?
I don't know. I guess. But I don't care. I just want to see, zombie butt being kicked.
Okay.
How
sure.
cool is that? Let's start review time.
See what show? See what show. Review time.
First movie we're reviewing is Cleaner. Okay. You would think that with Samuel Jackson and Ed Harris in the movie, you would get a winner.
But I sense a butt coming.
Not really, lor. But also not loser lah, not completely. Okay, Samuel Jackson is an ex-cop turned cleaner. He's not the kind of traditional cleaner. His name is Tom Carver. Tom Carver cleans up after people die,
Mm-hmm.
Like either of natural causes or after being murdered. The mess that dead people leave behind that you family members don't want to clean up after.
Mm.
He's the man. He goes in there, gets rid of all the blood, on the germs, makes everything back to normal again. Mm-hmm. That's his job. He's an ex-cop. Now he's a cleaner.
What most people don't know is that when someone dies in your house, it's up to you to clean up the mess. That's where I come in.
Mm. There's someone waiting for you.
I'm not sure if you remember me. You came by my house this weekend.
The day after my husband disappears, a crime scene cleaner shows up at my door talking about a job he did at my house. What am I supposed to think about that?
Why haven't you told the police about me?
I don't trust the police.
Technically, it's a missing persons case. I'm homicide, baby. I'm just getting a head start.
The forensics searched the Norcutt place yesterday. Not a drop of blood. What they did find was cleansing agents. Lots of them.
Following the lead here?
It's not my case. It's not my department. It's just you and me.
What was your husband going to tell the grand jury?
He called this his get-out-of-jail-free card. It's an account ledger, but it's in some kind of code.
The badge numbers. I'm a retired police officer.
I know who you are, Tom.
Tom Carver seeks the help of his ex-partner, Eddie Lorenzo. Eddie Lorenzo, acted by Ed Harris. When he finds out that the crime scene he cleaned up, one of the crime scenes he cleaned up, was not a legit job authorized by the cops after they had done their CSI job. But it was a cover-up. He just cleaned up a murder scene for some bad guys. So he's unwittingly become involved in a cover-up. What complicates matters is that there's an ongoing investigation by Internal Affairs on the previous police chief that involves corruption. Many cops were on the take, and that is linked somehow, you know, to this whole cover-up.
Sounds like quite a good premise.
It is. Can we carry on? And that's exactly it. I mean, at home, Tom Carver has to deal with his teenage daughter Rose, who has to deal with the loss of a mom who died in a tragic incident many years ago. And Eva Mendez is the wife of the missing man whose house Tom cleans up. So all these characters are in there. Eva Mendez, eh? Hot. The production values are great in this movie. Okay? It's very slick. It's got clever angles. Very quick cuts. So very, very, very stylo depiction of a cleaner's job. Mm-hmm. The movie, however, disappoints with this very weak plot.
Oh.
Yeah. With a movie like this, you want to see clever twists, clever turns, but it feels very generic. You know, it's like a movie you've seen before. And Samuel Jackson and Ed Harris, they try their best, and Eva Mendes does what she does best, you know, just look hot. But two fine actors and one pretty face doesn't save this movie from being very average.
Okay.
It's a huge, huge waste of a great premise, which is exactly what I was trying to say. I mean, when you say, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Mm. In fact, even the opening few minutes were great. I said, wow, that looks promising. Mm. But, you know, it just needed a good original twist or so. It didn't have that. Mm. And that's why it was less than satisfying.
I see.
I rate this an average movie. You should just rent. It's an hour and a half of quick entertainment. It's your average thriller. And you don't walk away feeling disgusted, but you also don't feel particularly happy. Mm. It's just, what a waste. So ni lah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So my turn with Cassandra's Dream.
Cassandra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Followers of Woody Allen movies know that this director and also writer, he's got an affinity with witty dialogue, dark humour, angst and pessimism. Mm. This movie actually starts with a lot of hope as we see two middle-aged English brothers admire a boat they can never afford. 'Cause why? They have no money lah.
Duh.
Yes. But when the older brother Terry wins at the dog races, suddenly the brothers can afford it, right? So they buy the boat and name it after the winning dog, Cassandra's Dream.
Oh, I see. That's where the name comes from.
Aha, yes. But of course, Cassandra, actually, in Greek mythology, go and read. I don't say anything, okay? Spoiler. So the brothers really believe that their fortunes will take a turn for the better from this point onwards, right? Winning at the dog races, buying a beautiful boat. I suppose such is the effect that luck has on people, right? You think that, wow, I'm on a streak, you know?
Mm.
Of the two brothers, Terry is the more simple one. All he wants is to stop working at a garage and set up his own sports shop. Okay. His weakness is gambling and drinking.
Big weakness.
Yes. Big weaknesses. Yeah. Ian hates helping out at his father's restaurant and instead wants to invest in a hotel venture in LA.
Right.
And his weakness is this need for flamboy. See what I mean? Sick. His weakness is the need for flamboyance and also the inability to be upfront about things. Okay. So you can imagine that the brother's dreams come with an enormous price tag, right? So in an almost too simple twist of events, they find themselves agreeing to help their Uncle Harold accomplish a grave, grave favor. And in return, Uncle Harold will then try to bankroll their individual dreams.
Oh.
All in the name of helping out the family.
It's all about the family.
Yes, of course.
I see.
Yes.
Thank you again for coming to my aid on the road. Being rescued is one of my wicked dreams.
It's not very wicked, being rescued.
It's what you did to me after.
Terry, I've met this incredible girl. She's an actress.
What's the matter with you?
I lost a lot of money in a car game last night.
How much?
£90,000.
How are you going to pay back £90,000?
You got some money put away, you told me.
I have a little save for this business proposition.
I'm in real trouble here.
Yes, you're in real trouble.
Your Uncle Harold started with nothing, and now he's a millionaire, and yet he never forgot his family.
So what kind of money are we looking at?
We both find a way to pay you back.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
I think you'll agree that family loyalty cuts both ways.
Oh, without a doubt.
Name it, Uncle Harold.
Anything.
What do you expect? You'd never consider anything like that, would you?
No.
Would you?
The bedroom scenes were so sexy.
I was thinking of you for motivation.
I want us to go to California together.
You're not a big shot, Ian. Small stakes player.
Look, for the first time in my life, I've met a woman and I'm in love with her.
But this is a way out for me, too. Well, if you do it, there's no turning back.
There he is. Let's take him now.
So this is basically the thrust of Woody Allen's latest movie. Colin Farrell and Ewan McGregor headline the movie as brothers Terry and Ian.
Wow.
Okay. So actually, it's very watchable as a movie. The story is not hard to understand. The character development is gradual. The movie has the effect of pulling you into a little hole which the characters find themselves trapped in.
Right.
Okay, but I'll say this. I don't feel that it is as edgy as some of his other work. And in fact, for Cassandra's Dream, I found that the ending was actually pretty abrupt and actually quite moralistic. Surprising, actually, for me.
For a Woody Allen movie?
Yeah, for a Woody Allen movie. It's not that I've watched all of his movies, but I think for people who have watched a lot of his movies, they might just find themselves comparing this to his past films, right? It's inevitable because the guy's made 42 films, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're just asking to be compared with yourself, really. Okay. For myself, I think watching this movie made me think of two films. The first is not Woody Allen's, it's The Talented Mr. Ripley. Maybe because there's also a boat involved, like, you know.
You like boat movies, huh?
No.
The Love Boat movie.
That's quite a tenuous sort of link. But I suppose I'm referring to the lies that Matt Damon's character has to come up with in Ripley, that is.
Yep.
And there's some similarity there. I classify Cassandra's Dream as a psychological drama, you could say that.
Okay.
Only here the characters debate ethics and obligations with what I consider fairly didactic lines, like, that's crossing the line. Or, you're only confronting your human nature.
Okay.
And I want to help you if you let me. You're my brother.
Okay, not very cerebral. Okay.
It's a bit direct law, I think. You know, of course,
the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, you have to listen to the lines in context, okay? And as I was watching, it did not really great, but I suppose if you think about how he used to pick his other films, then you feel like cringe a little bit.
A bit too literal. You know?
Yeah.
Mm.
The other movie that Cassandra's Dream reminds me of is actually Woody Allen's previous romance thriller, Match Point, that starred Scarlett Johansson.
Mm.
Yeah, this one doesn't. And I think when I watch this, right, it feels like Woody Allen himself is in a new dark phase, right? If you could say it's a new dark phase, because his movies actually have always been very dark. But what I mean by that is that he's using characters who want to break out of their middle class rut. And so they turn to crimes that they would otherwise not commit, right? Mm. And this is followed by incessant lying to manipulate a situation.
Terry, thank God you're here. Yeah. Look, I know it's early, but I've got a big...
What? I won £30,000 last night.
What?
£30,000 playing poker.
£30,000?
Well, you need to put it in a bank and never play again.
I can't tell you the feeling. My head was swimming. It was like I stepped out of my body. Every bet, every card.
You lucky bastard.
Can I tell you something?
What?
The real thrill. Almost losing. No one has a card away from being just wiped out and hanging in.
Yeah. What about Kate? She must be over the moon.
She doesn't know.
No?
Nah, she'd never understand. Not these stakes. Plus, I need the cash to play again.
Terry.
If I lose it back, then I lose it back. Right? My goal is to make enough money to buy this house we saw. Then I'll tell her.
Right. Well, I suppose now is as good a time as any to ask if I could borrow a few hundred quid.
Of course. What's mine is yours.
Thanks.
If you've watched Match Point, I think it rings a bell, right?
Yeah.
In Match Point, ex-semi-pro tennis player works for a rich dude, marries the rich dude's daughter, but then falls in love with rich dude's son's girlfriend, and everything goes downhill from there. Okay? So the characters are, and the setting are quite different, okay, in these two movies, but I think that he's going through a bit of a formulaic phase. It seems like, you know, what the template that you use in the previous movie can almost be transplanted to the next. Yeah. And so I'm just wondering, if you compare it with, say, his older movies, like, say, Mighty Aphrodite, where he often featured as the loser or a geeky guy or the nerdy guy who finds himself in the weirdest positions or in the funniest of situations. This one is like very much darker. Yeah, it's a question to the filmmaker more than a criticism. Are you going through some kind of change, you know? But I still think that the movie is worth watching. And so when it hits the screens, I would say still watch it. And one funny thing about Woody Allen, right? I mean, I guess it's, you know, earlier on I said that it's very inevitable that you compare his latest film with other films.
Right.
I suppose it's because he really kind of leaves a very distinct trademark. Like, I found out that from 1980 till now, 2008... he's appeared as himself in 15 out of his 42 movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did he appear as himself in this movie?
No, he didn't.
Clever.
So Cassandra's Dream.
Got two hunky actor.
Yes, right. Colin Farrell and Ewan McGregor. Really liked Colin Farrell, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked him in Phone Booth.
Mm.
I thought he was good.
So you like male actors as well as hot female actresses.
For his acting, lah. Okay.
I was trying to see what show more exciting and edgy and on the fringe.
Nice try. Okay. Let's have a look at Ben 10, complete season 1 DVD. It's a two-disc set. Ben Tennyson is a 10-year-old smart aleck of a boy. It's a cartoon, who stumbles on a mysterious alien watch-looking device that attaches itself to his wrist. So this watch is called the Omnitrix, and it gives him the ability to transform into 10 different alien superheroes. Oh, I love it already. Loosely based on the 1960s DC comic Dal H for Hero, this series is a huge popular series, and I think the DVD is something that a lot of people run out and buy.
You can also buy the matching t-shirt in all good departmental stores.
Obviously, you've bought that as well.
Say anything.
Ben is helped by his grandpa, Max, who's a kindly, kind of laid-back dude with a mysterious military past. And he's got a 10-year-old cousin, Gwen, who's a spunky girl. He's always arguing with her. The more mature Gwen is a foil to Ben's impulsive character.
So that watch lets you do that dragonfly thing whenever you want?
And not just that one. It sends out the special energy so I can turn into 10 different aliens.
10? So the speed guy at the arcade was you?
Uh-huh.
You're the man! Show me what other aliens you can morph into.
It's not that simple. It has a mind of its own.
Give me it. Maybe I can make it work.
Can't. Stuck on my wrist.
We should be partners. Between the two of us, with our powers, we could do whatever we want, whenever we want. I mean, totally cash in. What do you say? Friends?
Friends.
Some of the alien superheroes he becomes, he's got Heat Blast. It's a fire dude.
Oh, it's not Heat Wave. It's Heat Blast.
Yeah, no, I was too polite to tell you what's wrong.
I see. Well, I realized it.
The fire dude.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. I like him, man. Heat Blast. Diamond Head, who is a crystal guy. Made of, like, very hard material that can morph into different sharp things.
Okay.
Accelerate, who is a very fast, speedy guy. Stingfly, which is an insect that can fly and I think it smells. I don't think it smells. But Wild Mutt, which is very funny, he's got no eyes. He's a feral canine thing with big mouth and teeth.
Okay.
But he doesn't see. He uses smell.
Ah,
the other senses. Ben so uses his powers to fight villains like Vilgax, who is this vicious intergalactic destroyer. Vilgax wants to get his hands on Omnitrix, you see. Right in episode one, you see it chasing after the device. And he wants to use that to conquer the galaxy. Dr. Amino, who is used to be a scientific researcher, and now he's become a dangerous criminal because he didn't win an award after his work was done. So he got very angry and he started to do evil things. The DVD is a two-disc set with all 13 episodes from season one and a bunch of special extras. There is a Ben 10 drawing lesson in there, which is quite cool.
Huh.
Yeah. One of the artists, they show you how he draws Ben. There's an audio commentary for season one final episode, the episode called Secrets. So there's a climax for season one and there's an audio commentary for that, which is really cool. And there's also a very, very short sneak peek of the upcoming season and stuff that they're planning to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is really worth buying, even if you've seen all 13 episodes on TV. The animation is kind of an Americanized anime style, something like Teen Titans. The stories are simple enough for kids age 7 and above to follow. No ugly violence, so that's a good thing. Although a bit formulaic, you got a message of doing the right thing. You know, that's a good thing to have. And I think even adults will like the series. I enjoyed it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's funny. Part of the fun really is watching Ben discover his new powers. So what's the next alien that can come out of that dial, you know?
So he's surprised by it as well.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He's not fully, at the beginning, he's not fully aware of what all the aliens do. So that's part of the fun, mm-hmm. right? And things get more complicated down the line. Beyond just 10 aliens. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a little bit monster of the week, you know, as stories go, and could use a stronger story arc that ties things together. But I'm told it gets better in season 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and right now I think Ben 10 is showing on Kids Central.
Right.
So my son's watching it.
He's not 7.
No, but he's enjoying it. He's asking me for the Ben 10 watch, which he saw someone wearing. The other day.
Merchandising is evil.
Evil. I watched with him was episode 12 of season 1 where Ben gets a cold and every time he sneezes, it messes up the powers that the alien has.
Oh.
That was quite funny.
Yeah.
So every time, you know, he's in one hero mode, one alien mode, and then he sneezes, then it messes up. Yeah, side effects on the hero's powers.
I see.
Yeah, that's quite funny. So, that is Ben 10 Season 1 DVD set. Go get it. It's very worth buying. And then you can watch Season 2 and 3 on TV.
Yay.
That is See What Show. Alrighty. Ta-ta.
Ta.
A production of See What Show.com.